Tonight we have God's promise to defend the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the center of the worship of the true God. It was the place where he had placed his name and authorized the building of his temple. And yet the Old Testament city of Jerusalem was just a type and a shadow of that heavenly Jerusalem that Christ has gone to prepare for us. And that's why we could sing that hymn, "Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God." And this promise to defend the city is also an assurance of God's faithful promise to protect his people, to defend us against attacks, and to bless us when we obey his commandments and keep his word. And that's what prompted Martin Luther to write the hymn, "A mighty fortress is our God, for he has promised to never leave us nor forsake us." Hezekiah turned to the Lord, though, rather than relying upon his own intellect or the support of the world. He chose to turn to God as the only source of hope, because he knew, like the hymn writer says, the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. So before we have Tom read this passage tonight, Buddy, would you open in the Lord's Prayer, please?
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. This passage tonight is one of those accounts in Scripture that describes the Lord's protection upon his people. And throughout every generation, he has provided those who will faithfully stand for his word and his truth. In this case, it was Hezekiah. But on January 2nd, the year 1921, it was a Chinese preacher by the name of Wang Ming Dao. And he preached his first sermon in Zhangxian, China, on that date in 1921. He resisted the efforts of the communist Chinese to coerce him into the concessions to join the three-self patriotic movement of the churches authorized by the communist Chinese government. And he became the father of the house church movement in China. And despite all of the persecution, he remained faithful. And he served as an example to many of the other house churches who were tempted to turn away from the truth of the Bible. And they instead trusted in the ability of God to protect them, even as we can be assured of God's faithfulness to be with us in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our struggles. And when we face danger, we can look to him as our rock and our refuge. So, Tom, would you read 2 Kings 19, verses 30 to 37?
"And the remnant that is escaped out of the house, escaped of the house of Judah, shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came by, the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it, for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of Assyria, Assyrians, and 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Jabazar, his son, smote him with a sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Ezar had his son reigned in his stead.
Amen. Thank you. I will defend this city. The year was 701 B.C. This was about 20 years after the fall of Samaria and the captivity of the northern 10 tribes as they were carried off into Assyria. And here, Assyria is now threatening Jerusalem. But whereas the 10 tribes of Israel had fallen because of their repeated idolatry, because of their willful disobedience of the word of God, and because of their persecution of the prophets of the Lord, the southern kingdom had been a little bit more faithful. Despite their continuing cycle of apostasy and backsliding and then repentance and restoration, only to be followed a short time later by another bad king or another departure from the word of the Lord. Nevertheless, they were a bit more spiritual. But even the good kings, and they had far more good kings than they did bad in Judah, unlike the 19 wicked kings of Israel. Nevertheless, those good kings often neglected to tear down the worship in the high places, in the groves. But they did reform from time to time. And it was that faithfulness and that repentance on the part of the people that preserved the southern kingdom for another century beyond the fall of Israel. But here the southern kingdom, Judah, is in very serious danger. They're on the verge of being surrounded by a mighty army led by Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. And the people were in great fear. The spokesman for Sennacherib's army had come to the walls of Jerusalem and mocked God. He declared that the gods of the surrounding nations had failed to deliver them from the army of the Assyrians. And now they mocked at the notion that the God of the Hebrews, the God of Hezekiah, could protect Jerusalem. But rather than turning to the alliances with surrounding countries, or whether possibly seeking their own strength, Hezekiah did the right thing, and he turned to the Lord. He rent his clothes, and he went into the temple, and he spread the demands of Sennacherib before the Lord, and appealed to God for help, for deliverance. He sought the counsel of the prophet Isaiah to find out what the will of the Lord was in this dangerous situation. And he expressed his need to the Lord for help. And the Lord is our rock and our refuge. Psalm 46:1 tells us that He is our rock and our refuge and ever-present help in time of trouble. And Psalms 46 through 48 relate that abiding presence of the Lord, His protective hand upon His people. And Hezekiah, a faithful king, he had his flaws in his shortcomings, but he was a man of faith, and he was a reformer. He sought to restore the right worship of the true God. And thus, as an example to us, that when we face our difficulties, when we have our trials and our troubles, we need to turn to the Lord. We need to look to Him for help, rather than to rely upon our own strength. And this consultation with Isaiah the prophet, we see here in verses 30 and 31, familiar imagery. First, he uses the imagery of a plant that Job 29:19 speaks of. The roots going downward into the soil and the fruit going upward. A picture of prosperity and restoration and rejuvenation. Not only did God promise to defend the city of Jerusalem, but He promised a renewal, a revival, a restoration. Even as the Lord promises that when we look to Him with humility, when we repent of our sins, and when we turn to Him for help, He will hear us. He'll hear our prayers, and He'll give peace to the land. He'll bless His people when we are faithful. We can be assured of His chastening hand when we deviate from His will, but when we seek His will and His strength, He will never leave us nor forsake us. So, Isaiah promises a remnant. A remnant shall return. And this too is that familiar pattern of telescoping prophecy. For he's speaking of that period of reform several generations later, when Josiah, the faithful king, would reform the worship, when he would restore the celebration of the Passover that had been so long neglected in Judah. And thus, the effort to reform and to return to the practices declared in the Word of the Lord, this resulted in the blessing from Almighty God. Again, we see that Hezekiah did not accomplish this by his own strength, but it was the Lord, the God of hosts, who will do this. And likewise, when we face our trials, we must never seek to take credit for anything that we accomplish. We are what we are only by the grace of God. And it is He who will bless us. He will share His glory with no one. And thus, He will accomplish His perfect will. Isaiah promised a return, a preservation of a remnant. And this was very good news to Hezekiah and to the faithful ones in Jerusalem. Sennacherib's first assault on the city of Jerusalem had resulted in the deportation of over 220,000 of the people of Judah. Much of the surrounding countryside had been destroyed. And now, after a short interruption of several years, Sennacherib is now back. He's approaching the city of Jerusalem, and he has a bigger force than ever before. And therefore, there was very great fear on the part of some of the people that they were about to be conquered, that they were about to be exiled as the people of Israel had been 20 years before. But Hezekiah turned to the Lord, and he appealed to God for help. And the answer came through the prophet Isaiah, using much of the prophetic language that was common to the predictions and the prophecies in the other prophecies of Isaiah. The prophet of God here delivers an assurance to Hezekiah. He tells him that Sennacherib will not shoot an arrow into the city. He will not enter the city. They would not be able to raise a shield in the attack. And also he tells Hezekiah that they will not be able to cast a bank against the city. One of the common military tactics of attacks of walled fortresses in those days was to erect an earthen bank against them and to thus scale the wall. They would fill in the walls with dirt and therefore have no need of ladders. They would simply scale the wall and enter the city. But God tells them that they will not cast a bank against the walls of Jerusalem. They will not even shoot an arrow into the city. Historians debate the location of Sennacherib's army at this point, but apparently he was still several miles away from the city. They were not immediately near Jerusalem. And God's promise, despite the threat, was that they would come no closer, that Sennacherib would depart the way he came, and that there would be no further threat. But again, it was emphasized that this would not be accomplished by Hezekiah's troops. It would not be accomplished by help from a neighboring country or a king. God, the Lord God of hosts, would do this. And we're told that that night, the avenging angel, the death angel, that same angel which had stricken the firstborn of Egypt during the 10th plague upon Pharaoh and his people that prompted the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt. The same death angel which exacted the pestilence upon Israel when David conducted the unauthorized census. This angel of the Lord, the one who brings forth the vengeance of God upon wickedness, smote 185,000 of Sennacherib's troops that night. And they weren't just dying, they were dead corpses. And this was clearly a supernatural act. It was the power of God which took their lives on that dreadful night. And when the remaining troops arose the next morning, they discovered that the majority of their force was now dead. Sennacherib returned to his temple in Nisroch in Nineveh, and he was there murdered by two of his sons, who then fled for safety to Armenia, and he was succeeded then by a third son. That was the end of the threat of Sennacherib. And God proved his ability to protect his people. This promise of God's defense upon the city of Jerusalem is a type and a shadow of the same kind of protection that we as Christians can expect and trust in, as the Lord is our rock and our refuge, an ever-present help in time of trouble. And though Jerusalem housed the Old Testament temple, Paul tells us that our bodies in the period of the gospel are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And while we can experience chastening, correction at the hand of Almighty God, we are told that in Christ there is no condemnation. We need not fear the wrath. We can be assured that when we fall short, he's faithful and just to forgive us when we confess our sins. And when we do obey him, he will be with us even to the end of the age. Some people have said that that's a promise of a blank check, a certain promise that no one can harm us, but that isn't exactly what it says. Because we know that sometimes God's people are martyred for the faith. But we're also assured that those who lose their lives for the sake of Christ shall gain glory in the eternal reward. And sometimes it's his will that we've accomplished all that he has purposed for us in our lives, and we come to the end of our physical days. But that does not mean that he's incapable of defending his people. It's often said that the Christian is invincible until God determines otherwise. And thus, we can be assured that even today, he is our rock He's our refuge. He's our hope. And we can trust in Him. He said to Hezekiah, I will defend this city. And he did so. He did so with a miraculous display of his power, and 185,000 of the Assyrians lay dead as a result. The vengeance of the Lord is a dreadful reality. And we can be assured that He is taking note of those who persecute His people. We may not always see the immediate judgment of God in the timetable that we, in our flesh, would like to see. But at the same time, we know that God is just, and He will treasure up the tears of His saints, and He will execute vengeance and wrath upon those who oppose Him and His people. The Lord Jesus said, they hated me first, and they will hate you. But He has also promised to be with us, to defend us. He will defend us as He defended the city of Jerusalem. May we always look to the Lord like Hezekiah in our times of difficulty, trusting in His abiding presence and knowing that He is always near, that He will protect and defend His people. Amen. Do we have any thoughts?